redneck teens with massive machines, everybody living beyond their means, brotherly love from the messed up genes, nobody wants to intervene. Billboard screams your advertising. Beautiful creatures
left to live free. Hi everyone, it's June 12th, 2020. I am welcome to the Truth Bombs podcast. Today's title is Rant Number 2, Why Are We Wearing Masks? I'm Dr. Anthony James, Dean and Director of Education and Clinical Director for SCNM, the Soma Veda College of Natural Medicine, and the Thai Yoga Center. We teach what we call true medicine here at SCNM. By that, I mean medicine which is traditionally based in natural, traditional, Native American culture, indigenous medicines such as Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, Filipino Helot, and others. In other words, I'm a natural doc. We're a college of natural medicine. I do have an MD degree, so I'm also a naturopath and an oriental medicine doctor with a degree in acupuncture. And I want to say that there is no freedom without health freedom. So one way or the other, these truth bombs are about health freedoms. So let's get into it. Why are we wearing masks? Why are some people not wearing masks? It seems the dominant mantra of both the network news and social media is to wear a mask. To wear a mask indoors, to wear a mask outdoors, to wear a mask when around sick people, to wear a mask around healthy people, to wear a mask when you're sick, to wear a mask when you're not sick, when you're shopping at Walmart, grocery shopping, or going to the drugstore, wear a mask at the beach, on the lake, on the boat, on the lake. You've all heard this repeated over and over again. If you go out in public, even to pump gas, no mask equals hard looks. Or, as I've seen in some videos, a crowd of people chasing you down the grocery aisle screaming, "Murderer! Terrorist!" The reality is that the woven cloth or plastic type of mask, whether labeled a surgical mask or not, provides minimal protection from environmental viruses. That's the truth. That's the reality.
But there are those who have been speaking out about the usage of masks by healthy people. Dr. Dan Erickson has previously said the following.
When you wear gloves that transfer disease everywhere, those gloves have bacteria all over them. I'm wearing gloves. Not helping you. As your mask that you're wearing for days, you touch the outside of it, COVID, and then touch your mouth. This doesn't make any sense. We wear masks in an acute setting to protect us. We're not wearing masks. Why is that? Because we understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get diseased. We have both been in the ER through swine flu and through bird flu. Did we shut down for those? Were they much less dangerous than COVID? Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in
reality.
Death rate.
Surgeons wear them to protect patients from their mouth-borne germs, not the other way around. The only real benefit we see so far from this mask-wearing fetish is they isolate and socially isolate individuals from each other. They inhibit or restrict people from communicating. Since most emotional communication is nonverbal, is visual, and is based on what we call micro emotions, when we wear a mask, we are emotionally distant, even invisible to the people around us. This supports misunderstanding, confusion, and anxiety. We also may actually have trouble hearing or understanding what people are saying to us. Most people don't know this. Microfacial emotional expressions are mostly given out by the facial muscles around the nose and around the mouth and chin. These are expressions of emotional character, anger, disdain, joy, happy, sad, that take place in milliseconds, and then they're gone. If you really want to see them, you have to take a course, and you have to learn how to see them, or you have to watch a person speaking in extremely low motion, low speed, and then you can see all the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba of the micro-emotions, which are actually visually being taken in, are being interpreted through your neocortex into information to support or deny what it is that the person is saying to you. It's your own internal lie detector, would be another way to say it. Masks completely take this out of the picture. And since we are made to take in emotion in that way, to take in information in that way, to take in validation and verification in that way, when we're not able to do so, it's stressful for us. Mask or the new burqa?
Dr. Buttar has given his opinion on the use of face masks.
Because as people are allowed to come back into society, their immune systems are already going to have been suppressed because of the wearing of the mask, which is going to increase cortisol levels. It's going to put people into a pseudo-hypoxic state. They're having to suck oxygen through a mask. It drives the cortisol levels up, which then creates a sympathetic-mimetic drive. It suppresses the lymphocyte subpopulation, decreases the immune system, and renders an individual more susceptible to any type of pathogen, whether it be bacteria, virus, spirochete, mycoplasma, yeast, parasite, whatever. So the face mask agenda seems to be, if you look at it from just a safety standpoint, it's highly suspect. If you look at it from a scientific perspective, the agenda is nefarious. The use of a face mask is designed to protect not the doctor or the nurse, but the patient, so that when a surgeon is operating and doing a bypass surgery or a herniography or a joint replacement, that if the surgeon sneezes or coughs or drools or spits or whatever, you don't want to get the surgical field contaminated. You want to maintain that sterile field. When people in the Far East, for example, wear a mask, they're wearing a mask so out of courtesy for other people, so that if they're sick, they're not going to get somebody else sick. That's the reason people wear masks. Now, this mandate of wearing a mask, if you notice during the press conferences with the president's never worn a face mask. So the first thing about a face mask is, we already talked about, it's suppressing the immune system because you're driving the person into a hypoxic state. There have been multiple studies that have been done on this, where they've actually studied surgeons and seen the level of oxygenation, and especially on a chronic basis. Russell Blaylock put out a great paper that summarized many of those research points. So we know that that happens. We know it suppresses the immune system because of that sympathetic-mimetic drive that we initiate because we're having to suck oxygen through the face mask. On top of that, we breathe out carbon dioxide. But when you've got a mask on, you're actually creating a decrease. You're creating actually an increase in respiratory drive because you get more carbon dioxide coming back from the face mask. Now, the face mask also creates other types of issues because you've got irritating your face and sweating and all the stuff. So you're always fiddling around with your face. And then the last point about the face mask, and there's a lot of points we can make about the face mask, but the last and most idiotic aspect of this is that it's like building a chain link fence to prevent a fly from getting into your house, or a split rail fence to keep mice out. The viral particles that we're trying to keep out of our bodies are so much smaller than the smallest pore of these masks.
Every Karen, Henry, Joe, John on Facebook is shaming neighbors for not wearing a face mask. We're being told by governors that if we don't wear masks, we are selfish, horrible human beings with no souls who want grandma to die a horrible death. People are tackling people who don't wear face masks properly in the subway. Grocery stores are throwing maskless people out and or denying them service, or both. What about people with disabilities? We witnessed this the other day in our local grocery store. An older woman who could not understand what the cashier was saying, as her words were muffled from the mask, and she was partially hard of hearing or deaf. So she's yelling, "What?" While the cashier in frustration also raises her voice, trying to be understood. We've all experienced that. If you travel, you go to a foreign country, and you'll see the tourists on the corner asking directions with their hands all gesticulating into the air, and they're yelling at the local person because apparently the local person is not properly understanding what it is that they're asking, not really considering the fact that the local person doesn't speak English or their language, and yelling a language at them that they do not understand does not actually facilitate communication. Frustration abounds on both parties. The cashier raises her voice, trying to be understood. Finally, she gives up, pulls her mask down, and just asks the customer, "Ma'am, is there anything else? Anything? Have you gotten everything that you need? Is there anything else that you need?" And the customer answered that she needed the cashier to not wear a mask so she could hear them and read their lips. Has anyone discussed with you the impact of masks from the point of view of persons with disabilities? I bet not. What about people with hearing loss or deafness? What if the disability is respiratory? What if it's emphysema? What if it's COPD? What if it's extreme allergies? What if it's sinusitis? What if it's bronchitis, sinusitis? These are these who are right now, this minute, being discriminated against. I mean, have you talked about them? Have you considered them in your diatribes and your rants and ravings about how everybody needs to wear a mask or they're murderers or terrorists? I bet not. We are all in this together, right? The COVID mantra declares, unless you're hard of hearing, as millions of Americans are. Mandatory enforcement and laws which mandate the wearing of masks publicly is a violation of civil rights and personal autonomy of yourself and body. Whatever happened to my body, my choice? No means no. Whatever happens to my body, my choice? That even went to the Supreme Court in a certain case about women's rights to determine, to be self-determining in their own health. That's gone. You have no right to wear a mask in public because you can make someone sick. You have no right to not socially distance because you could make someone sick. You have no right to travel freely from your home because you could make someone sick. You have no right to enjoy a meal in a restaurant, sitting with or next to your wife, husband, partner, children, or friends, or random friendly stranger, because you could make someone sick. Many, many times in my life, I've enjoyed a meal at a restaurant with a stranger, just because we were inhabiting the same space and felt like being human beings. No public displays of affection. No holding hands or kissing in public. Some are even advocating the mask and social distancing extended to private homes. Can you believe that? England just passed a law requiring people to wear masks at home and practice social distancing while they're at home. Imagine the enforcement issues they're going to have with that. Now you will not want to hug, to kiss, and to be close in your own home. Well, because you could make someone sick. Basically, the shortest path to the greatest wealth of health currently being offered by experts and pundits is isolation, social distancing, fear, and paranoia to the nth degree, and there is no safe place. You have no safe haven. There's nowhere where you can go where you're not at risk, or because you can make someone else risk, and you don't want to do that. Oh my God, what about the karma? What's the karma? It's not okay to stand too close to someone else in line at Walmart, or even to go into some businesses at all. A lot of businesses have like tables in the doorway and restaurants where you got to go up and, you know, you got to call in your order on the phone, and then you go to the door of the restaurant and they hand it to you on the end of a lacrosse paddle. you know, so you don't cross-contaminate. By the way, these are the same restaurants that couldn't tell the difference between raw chicken and cooked chicken a month ago. I'm just saying. You can make someone sick. That is, unless you're protesting, rioting, looting, mobbing, stealing, assaulting, acts of arson, threatening, or public displays of dancing, or otherwise engaging in civil disobedience, whether peaceful or violent, or mostly peaceful, or not too violent, in somebody's estimation. Apparently the virus knows when you're looting and when you're not. The virus knows when you're looting and when you're not. The virus knows when you're doing appropriate social protesting and when you're not, apparently.
Great, so let's get the consensus here.
To get the best question would be to raise your hand if you believe that the wearing of a mask is unnecessary. Is that how you would phrase that?
Start there with unnecessary, and then there's a second question that I have after that. So let's see how many people think it's unnecessary.
Wearing a mask is unnecessary. Let's just see if we see hands here. Okay, so I'm gonna go through here and see these hands. Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing about 80% here, 70% probably, 70%. We're just going to take a little time and scroll through here. Again, if you are joining us, if you could turn your camera on so we can just see those hands raised up. You had, and that's super helpful. I see about 70 or 80% of people saying that it's unnecessary. You said you had a follow-up question to that. What was that?
Well, my follow-up question would be, how many people concur that it actually is contributing to the suppression of the immune system, that's actually making people sicker by wearing the mask? Not that it's not necessary, that it's actually making it worse.
Okay, hands up if you do. And I see Dr. Grant and Dr. Schmitz and there's quite a few people here. All right, hold your hand. If you just keep those up, we're just gonna scroll through those. Wow, okay, so quite a lot of people saying it's worse.
So notice what, like Dr. Wells, for example, he didn't raise his hand when it said it wasn't necessary, but he raised his hand when he said that it's detrimental. So some of the people that didn't raise their hand when we asked the question if it's not necessary, they were waiting for that next question. So they were anticipating that, you know, somebody's going to ask that it's worse. That's even more important, Brian. So you follow what I'm saying? The logic?
So basically,
we've got probably 80, 90% of the doctors here saying it's actually more harmful for you to wear a mask.
That's what I'm seeing.
Which is not,
I've only seen two hands that have not gone up.
Yeah. Which is the opposite of what we're being told.
Four hands that haven't gone up.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what the WHO is telling people right now. And if I published this on YouTube right now, this video would be banned and I would be censored because that's against public opinion, WHO mandate. And yet 90% of the doctors are saying that that's the case here.
It's not okay to stand too close to someone else in line at Walmart or to even go into some businesses at all unless you're there to burn that business down, smash their windows, and steal their merchandise. Maybe steal or destroy the whole life of that local person that they've worked years to build if they're a small or local business. If you're there to protest, the virus will leave you alone. If you're having a dance party out on the street while protesting, the virus will leave you alone. Eventually, it will be, you have no right to be anywhere in public unless you can provide your papers, documents, digital chips, medical tattoos, nanotech IDs, papers, showing your infection status, your vaccine status, your most recent test status, which is also tracking your physical compliance with social distancing and whether you're staying close enough to your home. Most of this tech already exist. Think Kindler, Gentler, ankle monitor. Think of smart ankle monitor. An ankle monitor with smart medical reporting. An ankle monitor that can take your temperature, that maybe even can guesstimate vascular perfusion. What about the curfews and the proposals for wider expansion of curfews? You will need to be off the street after sundown, 8, 9, or 10 o'clock, whatever it is in your local jurisdiction. Some places in the U.S. already have curfews and have curfews in effect right now for your own safety because you could make someone sick. And or it's utterly not safe because good people are out exercising their rights of free speech in protesting stuff. Of course, this is confirmed by the PCR testing, PCR-based testing, which is proven to be inaccurate and rife with false positives. So much so that fruit, animals, and unexposed persons can all test positive when they are not at alarming rates. If this test was used for anything that mattered at all, i.e. whether your car brakes were good, the failure rate would be so high no one would ever drive again for fear of imminent brake failure. It'd be too risky because your mechanic couldn't tell you if your brakes were actually safe or not. This has actually been done. This is not hypothetical. It's not hyperbolic. Good doctors have actually gotten the tests that they can get, which any good doctor can get a test, and tested their fruit, their papayas, their mangoes, their home pets, their cats, and then assigned them fictitious names and sent the test off to be tested. And when they came back, they were all positive for COVID. Their papaya were infectious. If I can't tell the difference between grandma and a papaya, how accurate is this test? And how much should we be relying on it? And it's tied to this whole idea of mask wearing because you can make someone sick. You have rights as a human being. We call these human rights. They were defined after the Second World War in the Nuremberg tribunals and trials of former Nazi officers accused of mass murder and genocide. Every one of you who has an issue right now with freedom, health freedom, freedom of speech, or any other kind of loss of such, First Amendment, Second Amendment, etc., needs to go look up, use a search engine, DuckDuckGo, and look up Nuremberg trials, Nuremberg tribunals, and Nuremberg code. So at the end of the Second World War, there were a few Nazi officials, the ones that the U.S. did not expatriate to the U.S. and Great Britain under Operation Paperclip, the 4,000 Nazis that we brought here to the United States to develop our space program, our military program, our biological weapons program, our psychological programs, Madison Avenue, et cetera, it's all well documented. I'm not going to go into that Operation Paperclip, okay? But the ones who, the good Nazis, like Wernher von Braun, who we brought to the United States, the ones that we didn't bring to the United States, they were tried as war criminals, and they were hung. They were hung. And as a result of the trial and as a result of what the Nazis said, the primary legal defense that the Nazi officers actually gave in open court was that they were just following orders. And since the orders were under the guise of a medical necessity, because most of the high-ranking Nazis were also medical doctors, again, historical fact, they use medical terminology and medical rationale for almost everything. And so the officers who were tried passed it on. They said the reason why we did these atrocities, which we didn't think they were atrocities because at the time the medical doctors told us they were absolutely necessary for the safety of all humanity. We were just following orders. And the Nuremberg Tribunal determined that that was not sufficient answer for crimes against humanity. And it wasn't just about the Jews. The so-called Geneva Convention was ratified as a result of the findings at Nuremberg. And yes, the U.S. was and is a signatory of the Geneva Convention. In fact, we were there at the Nuremberg trials. We actually organized them. How far have we come? You have a right to maintain your personal dignity. The forced, coercive, mandated mask-wearing agenda is a monstrously authoritarian, unscientific, and not medically justifiable. It is sadistic. People who wear masks do not realize that they are submitting themselves to tyranny and fear, and they're presenting themselves as mindless drones or branded sheep, i.e. sheeple. I want you to think about this. So one of the policies that the Nazis implemented at a certain point after they had achieved their control of society was they mandated that clothing accessories should be worn by all undesirables. In other words, Star David or some other symbol to show on your clothing as a patch or as a silk screen or some other type of designation that you had to, in a large symbol, designate that you were undesirable. And it was under a medical program which had determined that undesirables, including Jewish people, were vectors of contagion and that they had to be identified in public so that you could maintain social distancing so you would not be subject to the contagion of the infectious disorders that were carried by the undesirables. Most people think the Holocaust was perpetuated against just the Jewish people. And of course, that's not true. You have a right to maintain your personal dignity. People who wear masks don't realize that they're submitting to tyranny and fear. I've seen some social media posts that outright stated not to wear a mask in public means you're intending to harm or murder others. Harm or murder to others. You're intending. That's your declaration of intention to cause harm or murder to others. That you don't care. That you're not spiritual. One sad woman stated directly to me that wearing a mask in public was proof that you had love in your heart. Now think for a second. Wearing a face mask, a piece of fabric, could be artificial, could be plastic, and covering your face, hiding your face, as mandated by the government and various so-called health services, was proof of your love, care, and compassion. While not wearing the government-mandated prescribed proper clothing accessory in public was proof of low character, intent to cause harm to others, and a billboard announcing whether you were a good person or a bad one. I mean, think about it. A clothing accessory that is considered legal proof, a declaration of intention to murder and harm people, and proof that you're a person of low moral character because you're not wearing the appropriately mandated accessory clothing. Accessory being a mask, or now it's, you know, anything. Scarf, bandana. Dress like a bandit in some old Western. That's now the appropriate standard of moral excellence in attire.
Mask usage in Japan and China appears to insulate and socially isolate people to further avoid human contact, which I just think is incredibly sad. As you can see, and as I've stated previously, all the evidence in the world can be presented that masks are not useful and in fact potentially hazardous to a person, but we may be seeing a cultural change, and that's a whole different thing in my view. Think of Muslim countries with enforcement of things like headscarves or burqas for women. At a certain point, the wearing of face masks is not about personal health reasons, but merely an aspect of a society's culture, custom, and fashion. Certainly, the mandatory enforcement of masks is an infringement of individual human rights and bodily autonomy, but we are now living in a world where individual rights are trumped by the collective rights of the group, which is very disturbing.
How is this mentality any different from the ideology of the Taliban or ISIS? or the Nazis I mentioned earlier. The Nazis required after a certain point that all Jews and non-good persons to wear patches and armbands at all times in public. They taught and talked that this was necessary to prevent spread of contagion, that undesirables could communicate if you did not keep your distance from them. This was the first mandated social distancing program, which was implemented by the Nazis. And it wasn't just about the Jews. I want to keep saying that. If you don't believe me, go to a Holocaust museum and see that there were also millions of non-Jews, Christians, Catholics, Buddhists, Hindus, Zoroastrians, atheists, agnostics, brown, yellow, green people, women who were non-compliant with their husband's idea of their womanly duties as a wife, who were all put into treatment. In Taliban or ISIS-controlled areas, forcing men and women to dress appropriately and deciding arbitrarily what that would be, there were rules of conduct for men and women, and there still are in many of these areas. A man has to wear a full beard, face cover, hair, fur cover, and of course, the bigger your beard, the more spiritual you are, more of a good citizen you are, and a woman has to wear a burqa, which either completely cover their head or a mask called a veil. A woman not wearing a mask or a burqa or veil can be convicted of a morals crime and stoned to death. She's not stoned to death just because she isn't wearing her veil. She's stoned to death because the overt act of intentionally not covering her face is proof of a moral ineptitude, a moral deficiency that is so severe that it's contagious. And so for the betterment of the society, these people have to be taken out of the society. And of course, in the most violent, vicious, malicious, and demeaning way possible, so that it acts as a deterrent for other people who might have a second thought. Wear a mask, be stoned to death. I guess I'll wear a mask. Wearing a mask, also a symbol of subservience and slavitude. In the past, when we heard of these things, we were outraged and yelled, atrocity, crimes against humanity. We have to stop them. Now, there's no more of that. I have heard and seen discussions of holding centers being set up to remove non-compliant and or suspect persons for mandatory involuntary quarantine. I've heard that. People think it's far-fetched. I don't, not anymore. The PRC, or the People's Republic of China, for example, are a model for many things having to do with social, like this whole thing, mass social distancing, curfews and shutdowns, lockdowns and military control of all of the above, or militant control of all of the above, comes from China. China calls these holding centers, quote unquote, not prisons. You know, that's got a negative connotation, but medical re-education camps and facilities. So, for example, in China today, right now, this minute, today, you could be sentenced to one of these facilities, forget COVID, you could be sentenced to one of these facilities with indefinite detention for simply being accused of practicing an unauthorized health practice or exercise such as Falun Gong, Tai Chi, or Qigong health maintenance and health development and meditation. Really dangerous things. Once assigned to a detention center, you're labeled as a possible terrorist. And most people who are sentenced to these medical facilities for re-education are never seen again. It's indefinite detention. Very, very few people live to talk about their time in these Chinese medical detention centers. 3 months ago, I would have sworn nothing like these behaviors could be possible, and the loss of civil rights and liberties so egregious were impossible. At best, a dystopian fantasy of some post-apocalyptic scenario, as from a Philip K. Dick novel like The Man in the High Castle. Have you guys seen that? If you haven't read the book, look for it. It's on Netflix or Prime or something like that, The Man in the High Castle. But here we are, and the center is not holding. And yet here we are. Millions of people are wearing masks because they bought a false narrative perpetuated by lies, misinformation, and deception.
Professor Dolores Cahill has said the following.
If people actually have the symptoms, they should wear a mask. But if you're like me, you had it, there is no need to wear a mask. But what a mask does, it's entirely the wrong thing. It actually reduces the oxygen supply to you. So it actually, everybody has latent viruses within their body. And because you're under oxygen stress, it allows viruses that were latent, because you're under stress, it decreases your immune system. So there is no need for wearing masks, only if you have symptoms. And if you have symptoms, you should just stay at home for the week, and then you will be immune.
Professor Judy Mikovits has also said this.
Wearing the mask literally activates your own virus. You're getting sick from your own reactivated coronavirus expressions. And if it happens to be SARS-CoV-2, then you've got a big problem.
This lie was spread, pardon the pun, using what I call carrot and stick propaganda. The carrot is to do it because someone we don't know might get sick. The stick is if you don't do as you're told, i.e., non-compliance will not be tolerated, resistance is futile, Borg reference. With the exception of mass protests, looting, rioting, arson, gang assault, thievery, dancing in the street, as I previously stated, men with guns. Formerly I would have said police, but once the police are defunded, disbanded, it will be your democratic millennial neighbors. Men with guns will force your compliance against your will using threats of incarceration and coercion tactics. Threats to put you away, put your family away, take your children away, or all of the above. And of course, the people doing this are going to be these by-the-hour paid trace, T-R-A-C-E, contact tracers. Part of the government incentive to get people back to work is going to be to hire them to do contact tracing facilitated by technology. And, you know, with their, I don't know, hour or their weekend of medical training, they're going to come to your house, knock on your door, and they're going to determine medically and legally whether you're a risk to the public or a risk to your family. And then they're going to have the legal right to remove you from your home, HR 6666. Men with guns will force your compliance against your will using threats of incarceration and coercion tactics. Social stigma of, without saying. These will probably be broadcast live on Facebook. Medicine based on violence, coercion, and a profit is not medicine by definition. I want you to think about that. Because maybe you don't know, you've heard this word used a lot lately, and you've heard a lot of different stories, and you're a little bit confused. But I can tell you one thing. Medicine based on violence, coercion, and or profit. Medicine which is forced upon you without your voluntary compliance and consent. Not only is not medicine by definition, it's a war crime by definition. It's a violation of the Nuremberg Code. All that we hold sacred in the realm of civil rights is based on these principles, and right now this minute is being violated. Before you go, stay here. I want you to hear what some other doctors have to say on the subject of why are we wearing a mask. And then I'm going to give you something at the end of this, or access to something at the end of this video, that could be helpful for you as well. And I'm certainly at the very least going to give you a copy of this transcript. Okay, God bless, and I'll see you at the end of this video.
And here, let me tell you the motivation that I have for doing this, okay, Brad? I heard a story about a father walking out of a Costco with his son, with 4 or 5-year-old son. And the son's face mask fell to the ground. And the kid fell to his knees and started wailing, started crying, like almost screaming. And the father said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he said, "My face mask fell off." And the father said, "Just put it back on." And he says, "No, I'm going to die." This is what a child, the psyche of a child is being faced with because of the misinformation propaganda that's been perpetuated for an illusion. We as parents hold a responsibility to make sure that we lead our children into the future, and we have to guide them. We have to make sure that they're not motivated by fear. But if you're walking around with a face mask, you're motivated by fear, and you're teaching your child to be a sheeple. And that I just don't have any tolerance for.
Yeah, not to mention it actually puts them in harm's way.
Absolutely puts them in harm's way. It causes an entire chain reaction. You're causing hypercapnia, which means you're breathing in more carbon dioxide because you can't ventilate it. You're restricting oxygen flow, so that makes you go into a hypoxic state. And of course, numerous studies have been done to show the hypoxic state that's induced by wearing a face mask. Even in surgeons and nurses, they've done these studies and seen a reduction in oxygen levels. Not to mention that you drive your cortisol up because you're sucking air through something that's resisting the flow of air, i.e. the mask. Driving cortisol up suppresses your immune system. Cortisol is a stress hormone. You drive yourself into a sympathetic-mimetic drive, which is a flight-fight response. It also further suppresses the immune system, causes a suppression of the lymphocyte subpopulation, and you're basically now susceptible to every type of pathogen out there, not just COVID-19 or any other viruses, but any bacteria, spirochetes, mycoplasma, yeast, fungi, parasites, whatever, you're going to be more susceptible to it. In fact, I believe that if you start looking at the actual data and you start looking at the prevalence of this and you look at how the mainstream media has done this and you see how even Dr. Fauci originally said you don't need to wear a mask and then started wearing a mask, it's almost as if they said, how can we further suppress the immune system of the population to make them more susceptible to wearing the mask? To the COVID-19. Let's have them force them to wear a mask, and then let's also segregate them, isolation, because we're herd animals. We segregate humans. They get stressed out. They get more upset and more afraid. So let's stress them out, suppress their immune system, and let's put these masks on them that'll further suppress the immune system. And now we have people that are going to be even more susceptible to this COVID-19.
Yeah. So.
And yet here we are, millions of people wearing masks because they bought a false narrative perpetuated by lies, misinformation, and deception. This lie was spread, pardon my pun, by using what I call the carrot and stick propaganda. The carrot is to do it because someone we don't know might get sick. The stick is if you don't do as you're told, noncompliance will not be tolerated, resistance is futile. With the exception of mass protests, looting, rioting, arson, gang assault, thievery, dancing in the street, as I previously stated, men with guns, it used to be police, it's not police, because if the police are defunded and disbanded, it will be your millennial Democratic neighbors with guns, dollar an hour contact tracers under a federal contact trace program, H.R. 666, men with guns will force your compliance against your will using threats, incarceration, and coercion tactics. Medicine based on violence, coercion, or profit is not medicine by definition. Medicine, which is involuntary, non-consensual, non-informed, is not medicine by definition. Even the poster child, idiot savant, because he predicted the pandemic in 2017, we asked the question, how did he know? He happened to own the lab where the suspected release, didn't own it, but he funded it. He said in 2017 they were going to mess up and there was going to be a pandemic in 2017. How did he know that? Dr. Anthony Fauci stated there's no reason to be walking around with a mask on the 60 Minutes show March 8th, 2020. You're an individual with rights. Act like one. God bless. Nobody wants to intervene. Billboard screams, you're advertising. Beautiful creatures left to live free under the wheels of your massive RV. All of these things I've come to accept. The queer